Hello and welcome to Gilmore Guys. I'm Kevin Porter, one of the hosts of this little podcast that you've decided to check out. So thank you so much for listening. And before you listen to the podcast, I just wanted to provide a quick note for the first couple of seasons of Gilmore Guys. As of recording this, I'm recording in January of 2016. We've been doing this show for over a year now, and it has changed a lot since we first started. If you're coming to this show now for the first time, and this is the first episode you're listening to, I'm here to tell you that it's fun and it's good, but it's not exactly representative of what this show has become over the last couple of seasons. The first and second seasons of this show, a little rough. Charming, but rough around the edges. What you're going to hear if you're listening to this show for the first time is myself and my co-host Demia Dijuibe figuring out how to host a podcast, figuring out the balance of discussion and Gilmore Girls discussion, how to book guests, how to talk to people. And yeah, it's a learning process. We're still finding our sea legs. I'm figuring out how to host a show. Demi's figuring out whether or not he even likes the show as he's watching for the first time. So that means in the first and second seasons, we have people on as guests who have never seen the show, or maybe they don't like the show, as we try to figure out how to book guests and how to do a podcast. So that might be frustrating to listen to and listen to get our training wheels. I think there's definitely merit to these episodes, but if you're frustrated or bored, if you think we suck, I encourage you to check out some of our other episodes from future seasons, like episode 307, They Shoot Gilmores, Don't They?, with Jason Manzoukas, or episode 401 with Jeff Hiller, another fantastic guest. You can skip ahead to episodes like our interviews with Scott Patterson or Liza Weil. And I think the podcast that you're looking for, if you're listening to this for the first time because you've heard that it might be a show for you, the podcast that you're looking for might be in those seasons ahead, where we figured out how to host a show, we have people on who love the show on a consistent basis, and yeah, that we just get it down. But thank you so much for checking out the show, and I hope you enjoy it. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Now, unlike anything I've ever talked about on the air, I actually stand by Squarespace. I actually do because I've used it for everything I've made. Literally, GilmoreGuysShow.com, the very website for this very podcast, was made using Squarespace. How beautiful is that? KevinTPorter.com, I made that using Squarespace. My old bake shop website, that was made using Squarespace. Because you can do it all with Squarespace. You can sell content on your website. So exclusive stuff behind a paywall. You can sell memberships, courses, or sell files your customers can download, like PDFs, music, or eBooks. You can do that with Squarespace. You can do analytics with Squarespace. So you can figure out who's visiting your website and why, and figure out how to get traffic and where's it coming from. You can also have people do flexible payments on Squarespace. Make checkout seamless for your customers with simple but powerful payment tools. Accept credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and ClearPay. How nice is that? You can also do email campaigns, so there's constant outreach for your stuff and people know where to find you. So I'm going to let you know where to find Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys. Oh, hi there.
Hello.
Didn't see you come in there. We didn't see you come in there.
No, we did not.
Guys, this is Gilmore Guys.
Welcome to Gilmore Guys.
Hey,
oh my God.
Everybody.
The first episode.
Are you stoked?
I'm so stoked.
Okay, on the way here, I had a thought.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's bad, but I just wanted to run it by you.
All right.
The name of the town is called Stars Hollow.
Oh, yeah.
What if we called this the Stars Hollow Cast?
No.
No,
right. I'm totally kidding.
Why not?
Yeah, whatever. Let's do it, man.
Maybe we'll have a feature. We'll get to it.
We'll get to it.
Guys, this is the first episode. My name is Kevin Porter.
And I'm Demi
Adijuweebe. And that's Demi
Adijuweebe.
Adijuweebe.
Yeah.
I did eBay. Oh, cool. That's actually, I probably got one of the season box sets on eBay at one point.
No way.
Guys, this is Gilmore Guys. This is our pilot episode, and on this episode, we're going to be talking about the pilot. which we both watched today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I started watching it yesterday, and I got sleepy, and I was like, I'm going to finish it tomorrow. I got to.
Good commitment. We're both coming to it from very different places. I got into Gilmore Girls probably 12 years ago, roughly around the time of the first season when it was airing on the WB, when the WB was actually a network.
Before the CW.
Before the CW. When UPN also existed, yeah. Before they made Sweet Sweet Love and had the CW.
I miss that dancing frog. Like, hello, my baby.
I know. RIP.
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 For the viewers at home, you can see it. I kissed my fingers and threw them to the sky.
Yeah, we'll post an illustration of that so you can be clear on exactly what that is. So I got into it in around like 2000 or 2001. I was a little boy, 12 years old, 13. And I was super into it. I couldn't even tell you why. But I was just really drawn to the characters and the dialogue. So I'm coming from this from the perspective of a super fan. I got all the DVDs. I watched except for season 7. Season 7 doesn't count. We'll get to that later on. We'll get to that.
Oh boy.
Season 7 doesn't really count, so I didn't get that. But otherwise, I have all the DVDs. I've seen them all multiple times. I got my favorite characters, my least favorite characters, my favorite episodes, my least favorite episodes. Demi, where are you coming from?
I've never seen a full episode. it's weird. Like, when Gilmore Girls started airing, I was like 8. Mm-hmm. And I realized in going back and watching this first episode that I've seen, like, I recognized a lot of the characters, but I'd like, it was the kind of thing where I was watching other shows and it would always be on, so I'd see parts of it. And I was never against it. I was never like, ugh, girls. But I was always just like, oh, this seems kind of cool. What else is on TV? And I just never watched it. Yeah. But it's so weird because, like, in going through, I was like, oh, I know that guy. That's the Luke. What's his name? Yeah.
Loke.
But Loke. Is that his name?
Not Luke. Oh, I was saying Loke.
Oh, I've already fucked it up.
I was saying Loke like TJ says Luke.
Are we
going to
say fuck on the podcast?
What are they? Yeah. Fuck
it.
You know, they can't say it in Stars Hollow because it was on the CW.
It was on the WB.
And the CW. It was on Showtime or HBO.
It was also illegal to say in that time.
I would love to have seen like a super like hardcore version of Gilmore Girls where it is like a gritty, either it's like a Netflix thing or it's like HBO, but yeah. They can say all the F-bombs, all the C-bombs and GD-bombs. I feel like that would have really made Amy Sherman Palladino's. What's that?
Can we kickstart that?
Reboot? We're going to put the link up to the Kickstarter for hardcore gritty reboot of Gilmore Girls. Mm. Where they're both mixed race, and they because that's
the WB
pretty...
didn't want that. They were like, white or nothing. Yeah, white is right.
We got to talk about that because I feel like I don't know. I'm skipping ahead, but there is a severe lack of African Americans.
This is great. We're gonna get political. This is terrific.
I know. Well, I mean, I feel like the show is basically a political show.
Yeah.
When you get down to it, it's saying a lot about America, about this country that we live in.
Which is America.
Yeah, that's right. That was a test. So the format for the show, what qualifies us to talk about Gilmore Girls like experts? Well, Demi, why don't you take that?
Well, I have a PhD in Gilmore, and you went to school for girls, right, I believe?
Yeah, I got a major in girls and a minor in women.
Nice.
So I'm pretty well read on both subjects, which is good because there's girls and women on the show.
Get out.
It passes the Bechdel test, bro. Like with
That's
flying.
Terrific.
Is it Bechdel?
Yeah.
I'm saying that right? Okay. passes Bechdel with flying colors. Super good. In fact, there's, I don't know in the pilot if there's one scene of a guy talking to another guy. Can you think of one?
I don't think there is. Does that mean it's reversed sexist?
Yes. And we'll get to that later. But okay, so for the format of the show, we're going to be going through from these very different perspectives. I'm going to be on the rewatch. So there's a lot of nostalgia attached for me. There's a lot of like, oh, this foreshadows this. This corresponds to this in season 3 or 4. Demi, you're coming from it from a completely new perspective.
Yeah. I feel like, I mean, in watching just the pilot just now, I was watching and sort of critiquing it, I think, a little bit too much because in watching it now for the first time, I have to realize that this was a show literally started 14 years ago. I can't just be like, that's such a time, like, outdated reference. It's got to be like, oh, probably timely when they did it. But I also have to be like, not so critical. Because, like, there's a lot of things that Gilmore Girls did where it's like, oh, they're talking so fast. And I'm just like, kind of feels like Community to me. And it's like, oh, no, wait, they did this way before. So
Yeah, and that's what's important to realize is that with any of these shows, and especially for Gilmore Girls, it is such a product of its time.
Right.
And an episode of Gilmore Girls made in the year 2000 is going to sound very different than one made in 2006 or 7.
Yeah.
In terms of references and stuff. Because, boy, oh boy, is it super 90s in this first episode.
It really is.
Let's get into it. Let's start talking about the episode. The first thing we hear in the episode is what?
I have no idea.
There she goes.
Oh, right.
There she goes again.
I thought that was a Smashing Pumpkins cover, but that's the original.
That's the original, man.
So what, Sixpence None the Richer did a cover?
Yeah, I guess. Oh, man.
Wow, I feel like that's really blown my fucking mind there.
We're learning a lot of things so far.
Yeah.
And I feel like that... Here's why I'm really curious, too. We're starting this... kind of in honor of all seven seasons coming to Netflix on October 1st. We're recording this a little bit before. Hopefully we'll premiere this on October the 1st. But I'm so curious to see new people get introduced, like this whole new wave of Gilmore Girls fans that weren't present the first time around. Because for us, for the original Gilmore heads, for the Gilmore guys
the original
and girls,
Gil heads.
The little gillies out there. It's like it's so tied to that time, and it's tied to growing up in high school and college, etc. But for I don't know if you know Macy Gray songs and Britney Spears jokes are gonna like connect with people with kids and like teenage girls with iPhone 6s. And
I think Macy Gray is still big today in 2014.
Is that true?
No,
she was in a movie called Shadow Boxer. Have you heard of this? It's a Lee Daniels movie starring Helen Mirren and Cuba Gooding Jr. Do yourself a favor and do not see it.
Really?
But you might want to. Oh, you might want to fast forward to her scenes. It's pretty good.
Really?
I mean, it's pretty bad. It's pretty good. The movie climaxes with Helen Mirren and Cuba Gooding Jr. making love in a forest and killing each other. But
I'm sold.
No spoilers. But that's how.
Except for the one.
That's how she dies. Anyway,
well, you can't just say no spoilers and then spoil.
No spoilers. Very Helen Mirren point. Dies. So anyway, we're talking about the pilot of Gilmore Girls.
Okay.
Since
we were talking about the way that the show opens, when it opens, it's like Stars Hollow. I was like, oh, is this, could they not legally use Hollywood? I don't understand. Is that just a name they chose? Is that I feel like it's a very WB name, like with One Tree Hill. It's like.
On a fresh Stars Hollow. Like that sort of thing. Yeah,
like
totally.
A weird soap title.
I think. The idea is that it doesn't take place in California. No. They don't mention that at all in the pilot, I don't think.
No.
But geographically, it's Connecticut, and Stars Hollow is the fictional town of that. The story as it goes is Amy Sherman-Palladino, her husband Dan, before writing the pilot, they took a trip up to Connecticut to a Stars Hollow-like town, and that was the starting point for them. That was kind of what they were referencing and trying to capture in writing the pilot and in writing the series. So it's supposed to be a completely fictional town in Connecticut, where you can sometimes in later seasons see the mountains of Burbank in the background, because it's straight up the WB lot, and there's no denying that.
Oh.
But yeah, that it's a fictional town. It's not a clearance issue with Hollywood. Hollyweird, as I call it.
Ooh.
Sorry.
How wacky.
I didn't mean to get political.
Well, this is a political show.
It's true, yeah. We're going to get into Obamacare, episode 2. So look for that.
I think a lot of weird predictions in episode 2.
There's a lot here. There's a lot here and now, and we want to do all of it, but we got to get to the pilot. We got to talk about it. So we open with this song.
I'm going to get so distracted.
There she goes. There she goes.
There she goes.
Again. And
what
is the first line of the show? The first line of the show is, please, Luke. Please, please, please.
Okay.
It's Lorelai. Ask him for some coffee.
She's jonesing.
Lorelai loves that coffee, man. And
she
that's
does.
One of the best things about this character. She loves coffee. I feel like people in America love coffee. I think that's super relatable.
She is the American dream.
Yeah. I mean, in a lot of ways, I think that checks out. So we meet Luke. We meet Lorelai. I'm so curious from your perspective, what are you vibing at so far in this first 30 seconds of the show? What's your thought? What's your thought process?
Luke seems like a weirdo to me. He's just like I'm not happy with anything. I don't want to give you your coffee. That was like my first impression of anyone.
Yeah.
And then immediately I was like, oh, Lorelai seems pretty cool. She also seems like she's gonna get into some trouble later. And then she, obviously she did with the dinner party. Some shenanigans. But like, I don't know. Clearly she's like the focus. I know it's Gilmore Girls, but she's, I feel like if the pilot focused on one of them more, it was definitely her.
Absolutely.
More than Lorelai, Little Lorelai, as I'm gonna call her, because Rory's real name is Lorelai.
That's right, Little Lorelai. That's
a thing only us super fans who've watched one episode know. But that's the first impression I got. And when do we even meet Alexis Bledel's character? Like,
well, she comes in after weird dude going through Hartford tries to hit on Lorelai.
You make coffee look good.
That was a strange line.
That was great.
You make coffee look good. And what's great about this, I think it's supposed to be in the pilot, you have to do a lot of grunt work. You have to set up a lot of things. This is the dynamic. This is where the characters are. This is what we're doing. And in a very short amount of time, it sets up, this Lorelai, she's fun, she's sassy, she's cute. And then look at this cute other girl. This is Rory, her daughter? What? She's too young to be her daughter.
I didn't think that you were a daughter, and I didn't think that you were a mom. That's my impression of that weirdo.
Okay, well, that's what's weird is that this scene does climax in him asking, pretty much proposing a freaky four-way.
Yeah.
Is that safe to say? The guy says, well, I got a buddy.
She's 16.
That's the line that gets him off of
He's
the
just like,
idea.
Never mind.
Otherwise, he was totally down for some mother-daughter action, which I think would be a first for a WB show.
Look, if we get this rebooted on Netflix, it's going to be happening.
Yeah. Was there any sort of mother-daughter action in Seventh Heaven?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
All the time.
Okay. Well, I missed that.
I think Seventh Heaven was actually the reason that I saw Gilmore Girls all the time, because I watched Seventh Heaven a lot.
Why?
I don't know. I can't explain what I did as a 10, 8-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That checks out.
Seventh Heaven.
Seventh Heaven. People often say my name to the tune of Seventh Heaven.
Kevin Heaven.
Kevin Heaven or Seventh Kevin.
Or Seventh
Kevin. Or Kevin Porter. People do.
We're going to be starting our spinoff, Seventh Heaven Boys, right after this one.
It's not Netflix, though, I don't think. Nah. Is it?
No.
Otherwise, I would do it. Currently, my idea is we're going to finish this in...
We're going to do the pilot episode
in
for
3 years.
A bunch of different series.
Yeah. That would be kind of fun.
That would be fun.
Just like do pilots?
Let's see where this
pilot
goes.
Pilot, co-pilot? let's stay with the ship as long as it's sailing. Okay, one of the best things about the show, I would say, are the pop culture references,
There's
man.
So many of them.
There's so many fun references.
I tried to write them down when they appeared, but I couldn't.
You would need a little guidebook. And then actually in the first season DVD, I think in the first couple of seasons DVDs, there's a pop culture like handbook, like cheat sheet. So it's like, oh, what does this weird line mean? Oh, this is referencing Dostoevsky's blah, 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 blah. The first pop culture reference of this show is Lorelai making fun of weird drifter dude and his freaky friend saying, you're a regular Jack
Kerouac.
Which again, I have to think that's a first for the WB. I have to think that's the first time Kerouac got a little shout out on the old Frog Network. I can't be too sure. But
judges?
Survey says.
Maybe.
There is such a... I got it, and they did it so well. They set up the show in a way that it really respects the audience, and I think it's going to hold up. It's already holding up now, like 14 years later, at least for me. And it just made like a few really good moves, like threading through those references that are like, it's not just like, hey, I love, you know, the Spice Girls.
Yeah, there was never a moment where I felt like, oh, that's so dead. Like, they were never like, ugh, going to the NSYNC concert tomorrow. Like,
yeah, although they do reference NSYNC later.
Do they?
In this season,
I can't wait.
Yeah. Emily does. She has a thing on NSYNC or 98 Degrees. That's episode 17. We're going to get to that later. But they did that. They focused on Lorelai as the main character, which I feel like a lesser show would have made it more Rory's struggle. But I think Amy Sherman-Palladino had the foresight to know what's going to resonate and what's going to age with the audience as well isn't going to be the trials and tribulation of a 16-year-old.
Right.
It's going to be the mother, the 32-year-old Lorelai Gilmore, trying to get her life together and doing good to a pretty good degree so far.
I'm glad they didn't focus on the trials of Rory too much, because I feel like every time they did, like, really the only scene that we see that's just Lori dealing with something is when she meets we're going to get to this, but when she meets Dean, and it just it goes into, like, this weird, like, oh, really? Is that – oh, like, I didn't feel like it was genuine at once. It just kind of felt like a really bad sort of, like, teen parody of itself. I don't know.
Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about – I feel like this cast is really good.
Oh, they're great.
If you would say there's a weak link, who would it be?
Jared Padalecki.
Padalecki?
Padalecki.
From Supernatural.
Yep.
Yeah, that CW show. That's still going in, like, its 11th
Seriously?
Season. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Every time I hear about that show, I feel like it just started, like, 5 years ago, but it's going on forever.
It started in 2004.
Jesus.
I think. Okay. Okay, so he's the weak link in your estimation.
I think so. But
Jared, if you're listening, we'd love to have you on.
Yeah, no, come on down to the Gilmore Boys.
We'd love to talk to you. Gilmore guy. Dude, can we talk? Hang on.
Off the mic, off the record. What's the deal?
I told you.
Yeah?
It's going to be Gilmore Guys.
Gilmore Guys. I'm so sorry. I always do this.
The alliteration. If you make it Gilmore Boys, it doesn't even make any sense.
Look, I've been kicked off like 3 podcasts now. I got kicked off Friends Fellas.
Because you called it Friends Bros, right? Because
I called it Friends Bros. I always do this. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
All right, back to record.
Get your shit together.
Okay. Yeah. Gilmore Guys.
Gilmore Guys. We're having so much fun doing the Gilmore Guys. Well, not doing. We're the Gilmore Guys.
We are the Gilmore Guys.
Ladies, come on the podcast. Okay, so this is our world. This is Stars Hollow. I just want to talk about some things in broad strokes. Like, I just feel like as far as world building, the show has been doing – it does such a good job in the pilot. The pilots of any show are usually one of the worst episodes of the show. It's an unenviable task to set up everything, to make it flow, to make it work, to give it a story that you give a shit about.
Yeah. They did a good job, I think.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many little touches and little moments and characters where you just kind of get it. Whether it's like things with Miss Patty or even just Luke, who becomes a central character in the show, has like 3 lines in it so far.
But you can tell he's going to be there for a while, even though he has like 3 lines. Mm-hmm. Like, he's just the sort of character they would not throw away.
Well, there's that look he gives at the end when we're skipping ahead, but that's fine. Let's skip to the end right now. First of all, most of the show, a good 90% of it is Luke Danes, as played by Scott Patterson, in a baseball cap, usually worn backwards. Almost always worn backwards, I believe.
The 2000s.
And what's that?
The 2000s. It's the look of the 2000s.
It is the look of the – that was the signature classic 2000s look. At the end of the show, though, that cap came off.
Did it? Yeah. I missed that.
You didn't miss that?
I did.
Remember when she said he looked so nice?
Oh, well,
he had the collar shirt. He went to the thing.
I thought you meant like he literally took it off.
Wasn't like Doppies.
I'm just like,
hey, looks like you're a couple of Gilmore Girls credits.
I would love for them to just drop that line in every episode.
That would have been better. That would have been much better. Man, this show sucks. I hate this show.
Why are we doing this?
20 minutes into the show. Let's keep it going at least until the end. He brings her some like gross fries and coffee, like chili cheese fries or something.
Yeah.
And he says, hey, don't eat too many of these. You're going to turn into your mom.
And
Rory says,
I already am.
Too late.
Or yeah, that's what it was.
Too late.
Too late. And then she gives her
look. Look at her mom. Mom looks at her. Luke looks at them.
Pan out. That's Williams Hardware.
Yeah.
It was great.
That was a great app.
It was.
Was there stuff in the middle of that?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Let's go back. Let's go back to
Melissa McCarthy.
Can we talk about Melissa McCarthy?
Oh, my God.
So for you, as someone who, like, your primary exposure to her, I'm sure, is like Bridesmaids.
Identity Thief.
And Tammy. the number one hit comedy, Tammy.
Of course.
All the greats.
Yeah.
For you, what was it like to, like, watch this, like, so something you're so used to seeing so hardened and weird and just like gross and out there, be like this sweet, like, cute little characters. It was just, strange. Like, so well-meaning.
It was strange because, like, I tried not to look up anything. I was like, I'm going to go into this fresh, make my own decisions. But I didn't know Melissa McCarthy was in this at all. Despite, I'm sure I'd seen her before in the show, but I didn't know who Melissa McCarthy was at that point.
Yeah.
So seeing her in the kitchen, like, running around, I'm just like, Melissa McCarthy? That's so weird. And then, like, she does such a good job of making me just forget that it's Melissa McCarthy. And I'm like, oh, Sookie, I love her. I've seen her, like, maybe 40 seconds out of this episode. Mm-hmm. But I love her. She was great. It was, I don't know, it was really strange. She's very good at separating herself from the future roles that she does. Obviously, because she hasn't done them yet at that point. But it's clearly before she was typecast into, like, look at me, I'm the physical comedy sidekick of all these movies or whatever.
I love that impression.
That was actually, that was Melissa McCarthy. She came into the room very quickly.
Hey, Melissa.
Our first guest. Should have said something.
Musical guest. Melissa McCarthy.
That'd be weird.
That'd be very weird.
She's so cute. She's sweet.
She's adorable.
Love her. Nothing more to say about that. Here's one of the most interesting lines, I feel like, in the show. So we meet Lane, which is Rory's best friend, ostensibly. Right. She leads this weird life. Her mom works in an antique store. You can tell she's kind of sheltered, kind of protected from the world. They eventually find her mom in the antique store. And there's this line where Rory makes a joke about pregnant girls at school after Mrs. Kim says something crazy. And Mrs. Kim says, boys don't like funny girls.
That was a downer of a line.
Isn't that hardcore, in a way?
I was like, oh, I hope she doesn't, I hope that doesn't turn into something.
And I feel like it's not true.
Oh, no.
Right?
Ladies, if you're out there listening,
ladies,
love you funny.
Chelsea Peretti, we'd love to have you on
call
the show. Yeah, Chelsea Peretti, call us.
Call us, Chelsea.
Yeah, right now. I feel like that represents a really interesting perspective. I mean, do you feel like that's true?
No, not at all.
Do you think that's true of most guys, that most guys don't like funny girls?
I don't know. I have trouble speaking for all guys in the sense that I feel like there are a lot of guys who don't care whether or not a girl is funny, like, either way. But I mean, personally, I feel like a lot of the women that I find myself attracted to, even, like, in the sense of, like, becoming more attractive.
Can you name names?
Can you
name some of your Vine friends real quick?
Yeah, do that.
Yeah, let's do it. And we'll
They're never going to listen to this.
Vine friends, will tag you on the post when it comes out.
You just close your ears for now, though. Yeah. No, I'm not going to do that. But just people that I find myself more attracted to over time, it's because I find them funny and not just, like, I mean, if they're beautiful, they're beautiful. That's rarely a thing that goes like, wow, you're way more beautiful right now or you're way less beautiful now. But it's like being funny is something that you can endear yourself to way over time. And this got real. But I don't think that's true at all. Not in the slightest bit that boys don't like funny girls.
Do you think maybe that represents like a mindset of like a different generation?
Absolutely. It's definitely like an old world sort of feel, which is not to say like
make a joke, make a sandwich, not a joke sort of thing.
Yeah. For the listeners at home, we are rolling our eyes.
we don't think that's a good thing.
No.
I mean, you could, it's not impossible to do both, but I would rather you make jokes than sandwiches. I can make sandwiches.
There's delis on every corner and comedy clubs on every other. So my mom always used to say.
Yeah, that's true. Just to recap, there's delis on every corner and comedy clubs on every other corner. Quote attributed to
Mama Didjuwebe.
Mama Didjuwebe. Hey. Yeah, I love funny women. Actually, I would say, okay, so here's here's actually a fun game I've been trying to do with friends lately, is narrowing down the qualities of what you'd be looking for.
Oh, boy.
In a mate to three things.
Cool.
Like, you can be, because obviously we want like a million things. We want a million different people all the time because we're man whores. We're not man whores. No, we have a crazy mind all the time. Life is crazy. crazy. But if you had to boil it down to three things,
oh boy,
that you were looking for in a lady, what would they be? You can take some time to answer this too. All
right,
you can talk it out.
Can we start the Jeopardy music?
Yeah, that's right.
There's no Jeopardy music. He's just snapping.
That was Miss Melissa McCarthy on Snaps. Thank you so much for coming back,
Why do you keep popping back in and leaving? Say something. Goodbye. You said goodbye. Okay. So the three qualities
I'll tell you mine.
Okay, you go.
Mine are funny, autonomous, and activating.
Define autonomous.
Autonomous would be... it's kind of broad. I think that's the point of these words, though. But autonomous would be the idea that this girl is not half of a person before she meets me, and then I'm half a person. We make a whole person together. Like the You Complete Me, Jerry Maguire stuff.
Right. You're looking for Renee Zellweger. Yeah. Oh, you're not looking for Renee Zellweger.
I'm not. No.
Okay.
I don't want to complete anyone. I want people to be. I want to be complete.
Renee,
I want
her to be. You're great, Renee. I love you.
Renee, we love you.
We love you. Come on the show.
If you're listening to the podcast, we're here recording Wednesday nights. Every Wednesday night for the rest of our lives.
Yep, there's so many episodes of the show.
There's 160 something.
Oh my god. Yeah. They're each 44 minutes. I don't want to do the math on that, but it's a lot.
It's not a small commitment. Mm. This is true.
But we're going to do it unless we change.
We're going to do some version of it. We might combine some episodes.
Who's to say?
Might skip around. We might do best ofs. We'll see.
Okay.
168 hours might be. I mean, I don't know.
Franco couldn't do that. Damn, where's the ba-dum-tsh when you whatever. It was a good joke.
Autonomous and activating. Autonomous is she has her own life. She has her own interests, things she's into, passions that she has that maybe I'm not a part of. Maybe I don't share them with her at all.
Right.
It's like she's into like photography and surfing, and I don't care about either of those things. But I love her and I want to support her, so I'll be like supportive in that. But it's not like we both completely love comedy all the time. We both completely love blah, blah, blah all the
time.
That she just has her own life and her own world. And that extends to friend groups too. So if it's like, hey, what are you doing tonight? Oh, hanging with my friends. Okay, cool, great. And it's not weird. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then activating would just be like, just the certain people. I think there's probably like a very small number of people in my life and probably in yours where it's like, every time you hang out with them, you feel like they really do pull out the best things about yourself, and you feel like the best version of yourself when you're with them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's rare. It's super rare. It's super rare in friendships to find that. So how much more so in a romantic relationship? And then funny, just because that's so... And that's the way I bond, and I think that's just like super intimate to share those perspectives.
Right,
like,
of course.
The Venn diagram of what one person thinks is funny and another person just like coming together.
So rarely.
I'm making a circle gesture right now.
He's putting two circles together.
Yeah. In a beautiful love, funny circle. Funny love circle.
Funny love circle. That was the title of my one-man play. What are the three things? I mean, I feel like funny is a given just because it's not that I think it's like so important, but I've just historically that's something that I've found very important in the people that I love. But also I think if someone is... I want to say caring, but I don't want to mean it in a way to say, like, they care for me. Just, like, they are very, like, they think so much about other people outside of themselves in the sense that if we are walking around and we see, like, a homeless person, they're not just like, ugh. Anyway, back to what we were talking about. Like, and they don't have to be just like, oh, that poor man or anything. But, like, the idea that they're not immediately gone from their heads or that if they see something that's happening that's wrong, it's not something they just gloss over.
They're compassionate.
Compassionate. That's way better. Because I've known people that weren't compassionate, and it's just like...
It's a big turnoff.
It is, and it's a big sort of thing that I just get stuck thinking about and being like, why would I... Like, I consider myself compassionate. Why... I think that's such an easy thing to do. Why would they not be? So funny, compassionate, and sexy. No.
Oh, that's one... I should have said that. I think one of the givens is you're physically attracted to them.
Yeah.
Because you have to be.
Yeah, of course.
So that aside.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's going to be a large space here where I try to think of one more thing that I look for in a woman.
For those of you at home, Demi just drank some water. For those of you at home, Demi just expressed how refreshing the water was.
It was very refreshing. What is this, Kirkland Signature? It is.
Oh, dang.
This episode of Gilmore Guys is brought to you by Kirkland Signature Drinking Water.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now let's talk about your social battery. Maybe right now it's bursting at the seams with energy. Maybe it's a little drained. Maybe you're one of those people like my friend with their phone battery that keeps it 2% all the time, even when they stay home all day. And they definitely could charge up if they wanted to, but they don't. Well, regardless of where it is, it's important to understand why it is the way it is. Why is the battery low when it gets low? Is it because you're feeling less social? Is it because you're feeling sad? Is it because of emotions you've yet to identify? Or maybe just boundaries you haven't set for yourself yet? Either way, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, maybe you don't. Maybe you need a little more alone time. Well, either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. This is so important because I've been in therapy for 10 plus years, for some would say, technically, 11 years this month, and it's helped me so much understand where I get my energy from, how I use my energy, how to better use my energy, and how to maintain things in a way that's sustainable and healthy and good. And that's to do, of course, with boundaries, but also just understanding who I am and what I want. And I couldn't have done so much of that work without therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GilmoreGuys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GilmoreGuys.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
I seriously, like, I don't know why I'm having so much trouble thinking of a third thing. Let's pretend that I said something incredibly wistful and in.
We'll edit something in.
What?
We'll edit something in from the show.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, let's do it.
We'll edit something.
What's
in
the thing Rory says that we can edit in there?
She says, you know what? This might be it. This is a good segue into one of the moments I want to talk about the show.
All right.
Is when Rory and Dean do have their meet cute, and it is a meet.
It's
the just meatiest, the cutest freaking meet cute that ever cuted a meet.
I disagree that it's cute, but go on.
Really?
I thought it was.
Oh, I'm saying it's precious.
Okay.
Yeah. Right?
I thought it was pretty, like, the actual moment of the meeting was so, like, bad.
I disagree. Dude, this is our first Gilmore Guys fight.
Ugh.
I disagree. I think that moment's really good. The execution of it may be lacking to some degree, but the fact that she drops her books and she says a weird what is it? She says, you're like Ruth Gordon with a tourniquet.
Yeah, yeah. And he just goes.
And he says, Rosemary's Baby.
Baby.
Yeah.
And she looks up like, what? You've heard of that movie?
I feel like that's it, though. I feel like, okay, now this is another personal thing. I feel like this show has embedded in me a particular way of relating with people, which is references. Because that is so much a language that people share on the show.
Right.
That it's become a language that I share with people in my life, and that's how I bond with people a lot.
Right.
It's like weird references. Not that I'm like super culturally literate.
Yeah,
I'm probably not more than
but
the,
you are.
Yeah, I'm not a borderline autistic Polish man. He's Polish, right?
I don't think so.
I think he might be.
Polish?
I think he's like IRL Polish, and he's like Indian something in the
show. We'll talk about it on our other show, Community
Kids.
Community Kids.
coming to iTunes space.
We're going to do 50 shows tonight alone. But, I mean, I agree with you in that way. Like, I think that I relate to people through references so much more than average. Not average people, but like on an average basis, I don't think people throw out as many references and are like, oh, we both know that as often as either of us do. But at the same time, it was so weird in that moment how specific her reference was and how she just kind of like turned to him in like this like starry-eyed gaze, just like, really? And it was like instant. It wasn't like a sort of slow turn up to him like, wow, who is this person? It was just like an instant, like she was like, oh, God, I keep doing faces of people are going to see this.
There's so much good. You know what I want to do? I want to film one of these.
Please do.
For the website, I'm going to. This is already a masterpiece of podcasting.
This is great. It's the first podcast you're going to have to watch.
There's a few you got to watch.
Yeah, there are many video podcasts.
You got to watch, right?
I don't know.
Okay, we're going to. Jimmy Pardo, if you're listening, come on to the show.
We love you. Please call us,
Jimmy. We love you, Jimmy.
We're not going to get a single one of our guests.
All right, I want you to do the Rory face right now.
The Rory face, when she sees Dean, is like...
He's doing it. He just did it, guys. We're going to post the video to our Instagram.
Our Instagram.
Oh, boy. We're starting a joint Instagram, Gilmore Guys.
Gilmore Guys.
Actually, we're probably not, but I did register the Twitter.
Did you?
I did.
That is terrific.
At Gilmore Guys Show.
We'll sell it for $5.
Yeah.
Just Gilmore Guys.
You want to sell it already?
Look,
done making the first show.
Look, I'm in it for the money, man. As soon as we get a sponsor, I'm going to sell out everyone. Come on, call us.
Brought to you by Squarespace.
Squarespace.
We probably
all in one thing. Do
we do? They do the things that they square all the space away. Thank you, Squarespace, for that ad copy. Okay, so. Not into Dean, it doesn't sound like.
It's weird. I'm not into Dean, but I think it was just a very weird moment for him. Like, it didn't seem like he was given much to do. And he came off as a total creep at the end, where he's just like,
I'm watching
you. Yeah, he's like, I've been watching you. There was a moment where you were sitting by a tree reading. Someone got their face hit. That's awesome. And you didn't look up. Like, what the hell?
That was the weird thing. Is like, he was so stuck on, like, this guy was bloody. And, like, his girlfriend was crying, and you didn't even see that, man.
Yeah. I wrote down exactly what he said to her. It's like, I've never seen someone read so intensely in my life. I was like, I have to meet this girl. What does that even mean?
God. Which I guess is a good role model for girls. Like,
follow them with the creeps.
Don't worry about slutting up or doing booty stuff. But just read intensely under trees where weird men can watch you.
This podcast brought to you by Read for America.
And weird men.
And weird men.
And
yeah.
Hosted by weird men.
Hello.
But I like, you know what? In this episode, I'm not going to get into what happens with Dean later because it's quite a bit. But in this episode, I'm going to say I like Dean. I give Dean a thumbs up.
All right.
I think he's being a gentleman. I think he says sweet things to her. Moment is weird. What's that?
Are you Team Dean? Hashtag Team Dean.
If it's Team Dean or
there's
team,
no other team right now.
Team Michelle?
Team Independence.
Yeah. Team Tebow. I'm going to be Team Dean. Yeah.
All right.
For this episode, I'm going on record. I'm Team Dean.
Ooh.
Team Dean. Dean.
I wish we got to have like a soundboard. It's like a Team Dean. All right.
Okay. So this brings us to the central conflict of the show. Well, we're backing up. We're doing this podcast like a Quentin Tarantino movie, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Because, guys, the story and the premise of the show is that Lorelai wants to send Rory to Chilton, the super upscale private school. I almost said boarding school. It's not a boarding school. Private school. But it's going to cost a lot of money dollars. Mm. Lorelai is a single mom. There's no second income coming in. She's a manager at an inn, pays okay,
have a really nice house.
Yeah.
That you'll get to see more of later. But she needs some money dollars. So she got to go to.
She got to go to her parents.
Emily and Richard, man. Emily and Richard freaking Gilmore. And to me, I would say the relationship, even in this first episode, that I find to be the most interesting and the most, like...
I definitely agree.
Is Emily and Lorelai, right?
Yes, yes. I was about to say, it's so weird. They give Richard the important lines that sort of change things between the three of them, but he's not really developed well. Like, he does the whole, oh, so you want money thing, which tells me, like, oh, she comes to them for money all the time. They don't have a great relationship. And he also does the thing where he talks about her ex, Christopher, but then it turns into an Emily and Lorelai argument, and it's so weird that they give him the development lines and then just kind of throw him away. I'm so down with it because I want to see more of Emily and Lorelai. I don't even care about him.
Yeah, he's good, but he does, even in the show, it is so funny to watch a show because it's like, man, we've experienced this for so many years and we will for years to come, where it's just like, oh, underwritten women. Oh, she's the prize. She's the trophy. She's the eye candy, she's the weird one, whatever. But like in this show, it's so funny, especially in the pilot, the men are super underwritten.
Oh yeah.
I'm totally okay with
it. I'm so okay with
it. I'm great with it. But Emily's passive aggressive. First of all, I think Kelly Bishop is the best in this cast by a long, long shot. I think Lauren Graham has like more difficult things to do and more things to do.
Yeah.
But as far as like people, and especially in later episodes, people just like can just like get me and hit me where I live. It's Emily, man. Like really? All the way. Even my favorite line of the episode is when they're fighting in the kitchen during their first Friday night dinner. And she I don't even, what was the context? But all she says is, you said pie.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
You said pie. All I heard was pie. Yeah.
You said pie. I would count that as like the first Emily Gilmore-ism of the show.
You said pie. It's going on the soundboard.
You said pie.
What if this becomes like a morning zoo crew thing?
I would. That's what I'm hoping for. As a matter of fact, I'm just going to burst out some bam, 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 bam intermittently through this show.
Okay. Good. But to me, the relationship between Lorelai and... I know Rory and Lorelai are the heart of the show, blah, blah, blah. They're mother and daughter, da, 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 da. But Emily is just so much more interesting to me. And just because Kelly Bishop, she's a chorus line. She won a Tony Award. She's a Broadway veteran. She's just like the powerhouse of the show. And every scene she's in, she's the best part of it.
In the first episode, there's tension between Rory and Lorelai, and there's tension between Emily and Lorelai. And it's like tenfold way more interesting between Emily and Lorelai. And it's way less.
And so. I wonder, as 20-somethings, if we would even, like, 6 or 7 years ago, identify more with Rory. I always identified more with the Emily and Lorelai thing, but I wonder if, like, kids watching it now would be like, oh, no, like, Rory is the one, I don't care about the old people, right, whatever, who cares.
They don't even have iPods. That's my impression of teens in any sort of conflict. Do they have iPods? Do I care?
Do they have iPods, and do I care? Can I find this? Is there Instagram happening?
It's too long to tweet. TLTT.
I tell you what, they're talking about Twitter. There's at least 140 characters in this show by the end of it. I tell you that much. I tell you that much.
Oh, here we go. I told you. Welcome to the Morning Gilmore.
The Morning Gilmore. The Morning After Gilmore. Oh, boy. But, okay, so we're agreed, Emily and Lorelai, that is, like, the soul of the show to me. Because that's the most interesting conflict. And I think that's the thing.
Easily.
That's something, even without getting into specifics, I feel like that my family can identify with, too, is just, like, the kind of hardness that comes when those relationships, over time, just aren't healed and there's certain things. And, like, there's definitely love there and the foundation is there, but just think certain things aren't said and communicated the right way.
Right.
Because I do believe Emily wants Lorelai's best.
Absolutely.
But they just have such different perspectives. And again, it's like generational. It's like, no, you get married after you get knocked up. That's what you do. That's what she says to Lorelai.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, we didn't get married so we could have good lives. And to me, that's just like such an... Because she cares so much. Whereas Rory's just being a dumb girl who just cares about a boy, right?
Don't we all, though?
Yep. Don't we all care about a boy?
Don't we all just care about a boy?
Don't we care about a boy on NBC?
Look, we're another podcast. Yep. Oh, is it over?
I think.
Oh, good. That's a podcast. I want to say
yes. I don't want to say yes. But yeah, we'll start about a boy next week.
About a bad. That's our Iraq themed podcast.
About a boy, about a bad.
About a boy, about a bad. This is
coming
great.
Live in Iraq. Yeah, the killer bit, dude.
Killer bit.
One thing, this is just some really nerdy trivia stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to talk about.
Throw it at me.
The visual language of the show is pretty set in the first episode. There's a few things that just never. When Lorelai and Rory are first arguing at the diner over, like, I thought you wanted to go to Chilton. I thought this is what you wanted. You want to go to Harvard, blah, 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 da, da, da. There's a slow push in, what seems like on a dolly track or something. And there's a slow push in to the Friday night dinner table at Emily and Richard's place. Dolly shots almost, I think they never happen again after this episode.
Really?
It's all steady cam or it's all locked off tripods.
They blew the budget on the first episode.
They did. Leslie Linka-Glader or Glader, who directed this episode, I believe she directed many more to come in the future. She did some West Wings too. I don't know what she's doing right now.
Really?
Leslie, if you're out there, we'd love to have you on.
She probably directed this and they were like, we got to get her for the West Wing. We need dolly shots in every episode.
They do. I mean, man. Those guys. And let's talk about that. I think that's actually a really interesting parallel because to me, West Wing and Gilmore Girls are like brother and sister
shows
in a lot of ways. Are you familiar with West Wing?
I'm familiar with West Wing, not as much as I'd like to be, but I'm even less familiar with Gilmore Girls, which is why I'm just like, I mean, I get that it's a lot of fast talking sort of parallels to real life.
Fast talking, there's a lot of auteurship because every episode of Gilmore Girls for seasons 1 through 6 was written by Amy Sherman and or Dan Palladino. They didn't put their name on every episode because they, I guess, were more generous and
right.
Sorkin type who did get co-credit.
Like the first
or
six
credit
seasons.
On every episode of the first four seasons of The West Wing. But there's such a weird parallel because Sorkin, first four seasons of The West Wing, leaves unceremoniously. Palladino's first six seasons leave unceremoniously. Then after that, the shows really never recover quality-wise. Really? But they are marked by so many different things. Just so many interesting things like... Obviously, like the things like fast talking and walk and talks are staples of both shows. I do think that the Palladinos are better storytellers overall than Sorkin is, like on a long form scale. I think Sorkin's dialogue is finer, more finely tuned, and more timeless than timely.
One of the critiques I've known about The West Wing that I've heard, not that I've experienced myself, but is that people say its dialogue is sharp and the monologues are the thing to watch it for, not so much the story. I never hear like, oh, you remember the story of that one episode, but obviously with Gilmore Girls, like in the first episode, the story is already so very finely ingrained in what happens.
And
are you
compelled by it? Like so
I
far?
I am, yeah. I mean, it's weird in the sense that I don't know where it's going to go, although it seems like the kind of thing where I should know where it's going to go just because it's like, oh, financial woes, and oh, she's going to school, and oh.
Right, and that's what I actually like about it. I like that it's the main conflict of the show is money.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's relatable. Like, it's relational, but it's relational only because it's circumstantial because of money.
Yeah.
I just feel like everyone can relate to that feeling of like, of having to humble themselves, either talking with their parents or with friends. And that's just something that doesn't go away. I'm glad that the conflict wasn't just like, we don't like each other, or we have a weird relationship.
It's also a great like intergenerational sort of thing, like old money, new money, like having to fend for your children's future. It's really like the perfect way to connect three generations without having to be like, we don't like you. We don't get along because we're different.
Totally.
Yeah.
And as the show goes on, you see more... As Rory gets involved with certain people, like in college, you see more of like the classism of it, which they do manage to make super interesting without just being like, oh, it's super rich white people.
Yeah.
That's fun. It's not fun. Spoiler alert, it's not fun. Going back to the end of the episode, everything's pretty much tied up. Friday night dinner blows up and Emily and Lorelai are kind of left on a little... ellipses of like what their relationship's going to be from now on because it does end on such a conflict. They go back to the diner, they go back to Luke,
He says, red meat can kill you. Enjoy.
Yeah.
He's just like a ball of sunshine. Do you like him? Do you think his curmudgeon thing is fun? Or are you like, all right, buddy?
It's weird. I don't think it's fun right now, but I can tell it's going to be. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I mean, I know where they end up. So it's just kind of like, oh, obviously it's going to be fun because she's going to end up with him. So I think it's, or not.
Does she? Does she, dude?
Does she? I guess I, oh, no.
Dude, does she?
Oh.
Well, we'll find out. We'll get,
man,
to that later.
Man, that's a curveball. I wish I had a tuna. I'm going to come with a full soundboard next time.
That, I think that'll, like, make this show take off.
It is going to ruin this show.
His hair, I don't want to harp on this too much, but his hair, a friend of mine pointed this out while watching it with me. It's straight up like Nicolas Cage looking.
It is.
It's freaky deaky.
It sits on top of his head. It's very strange, but it's like perfectly coiffed on top of his head.
It's weird. It really
is unsettling.
It's like
someone microwaved a wig or starched it or something. I don't know.
That's why I think after that, maybe it was a network note, but he rarely, if ever, does the hair come out unless it's like he's going to like a
Scott
wedding.
Scott Patterson, if you're listening,
we'd love to have you on, Scott. We love you. We love your hair and lack thereof.
We're just goofing.
We love you, Scott. Okay, so it comes to the, we're back there at the final moment of the episode. You're going to turn out like your mom.
Too late.
Too late. Ba-ba-ba-ba-da-da. Gilmore!
Gilmore!
Gilly!
Oh, man, I wish I'd seen this on, like, TV as it was airing. I'm sure the, like, stingers of, like, next week on Gilmore Girls are probably just...
Here's the best thing. Here's one of my favorite, and they didn't even start doing it until, like, season 3 or 4. There's part of like a rebranding of the network, I think, when WB was still WB. But the announcer guy, who was one of the guys who does like trailers, it wasn't like the Fox guy. He's like, this week on The Simpsons, Bart's crazy. It was like, it was, what's his name? Hal something. And he's like, on a fresh Gilmore Girls. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Like the trailer, the VO
Next
trailer
week
guy?
On Gilmore Girls. Yeah.
In a world where girls can Gilmore.
Bobby
he would
Newport.
Say, on a fresh Gilmore Girls. Fresh. So man. All the, and that was everything on the WB. It was a fresh Seventh Heaven. It was a fresh One Tree Hill. It was a fresh Reba, I think. A fresh Nikki. Just all
the God, greats. This is, I'm realizing how many of these shows I watched. I watched Reba. I watched a lot of Reba.
On a fresh Unhappily Ever After.
I did not watch that one.
I did a lot.
Oh boy.
When I was like 10, it kind of messed me up.
We'll get to that in our other podcast.
We'll get to that in Unhappily Ever After, Ever After.
After all.
Happily Ever After, After all, Ever After.
There's a moment I want to throw back to. There's like a weird moment that doesn't really develop anything, but it's just, actually no, it does develop. It's when she finds out that Rory got into Chilton and she's in the kitchen with Sookie. And it starts off with, like, Sookie just kind of going around the kitchen doing things and all the other cooks avoiding her. Like, she does this all the time. It felt like it was so weird because it was like, this is the only moment that's, like, physical comedy in the entire episode. And I was like...
Really in the entire show, truthfully.
Really?
Because, I mean, it does end with her, like, literally hitting a dude with a frying pan.
Yeah, it felt like Ratatouille
sequence.
Or something. It was so weird.
It was crazy.
I loved it because the very end of that scene, which is so weird, is like she throws something back.
She throws a rag on the stove.
And it lands on the stove and immediately catches fire way too quickly.
Yeah.
But that's a technical note. But anyway, it catches way too quickly. Yeah. One of those gas soap rags. And one of the cooks comes up and just stone-facedly puts a pot lid on top of it like, this happens all the time. It's going to stop the fire, and walks away. It doesn't do anything. It moves around the pot and keeps going. That kitchen almost definitely burned down.
Yeah, that's a big continuity error of the show. Or there is a fan theory going around the internet that that gas-soaked rag actually burns down the Independence Inn. It kills Lorelai.
Oh my God.
It kills Sookie. Rory comes and tries to save them, and she's burned alive. The grandparents hear about it, and they're burned alive too.
Of course.
And Luke is so sad about it that he kills himself. So the fan theory floating around is that all of Stars Hollow is actually the afterlife.
I believe that.
And
Stars Hollow? Sleepy Hollow?
Exactly.
Yeah.
See, and that's why Sleepy Hollow is in so many ways the spiritual successor and sequel to Gilmore Girls. And if you watch that show, there's not as many pop culture references.
That's because it takes place in a time where pop culture is dead.
Exactly. I mean, maybe they reference Edgar Allan Poe or something. I haven't watched it. Is that show good?
No.
We should start a show called Is That Show Good?
Is that would Just we're coming with so many great podcast ideas.
I know. This podcast sucks. We're doing a better one.
Yeah. Is this show good? We're going to watch the pilot and tell you. Judging it off of the least we can possibly judge it off of. Blackish.
Man.
Two thumbs up.
That's the one about the Seafish, the SeaWorld documentary, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's the one where they, it's the censored one where they took all the F out.
I got to tell you what, though. I got to tell you what. For real, I know he's on Hannibal, but Lawrence Fishburne's face on those freaking billboards
is God.
Like, that's my heart, man. That's, if I could, if my heart could wear a face, it would be that.
I, you know what? I really hope that show is good. Like, no, I know, yeah. But I hope it turns out to be good. I don't know why. I just want like a modern
family.
Well,
you're invested, I'm sure.
Of course. What do you mean? I'm kidding. Podcast viewers don't know this, but I'm black.
They don't know that.
They might know. Who knows? But
write in. We do have a Gmail account, GilmoreGuysShow@gmail.com for all your fan mail. This is true.
Terrific.
GilmoreGuysShow@gmail.com. Write us in if you thought Demi was black. Although if we do cover art, we're probably going to show you and they will see.
Yeah. We're going to cover listening, me up.
If you're just listening, who sounded more black, me or Demi?
Yeah. Don't answer that,
we're
going
to vote on that at the end of the show.
But send us, answer the poll. No, but.
Wait, so all in all, as a first impression of the show, this is a pilot. Pilots usually suck. I think it's a pretty strong pilot.
I think it's a very strong pilot, especially for a show that is 14 years old. Like, I think it's a strong pilot. I think if it aired today, I would be a little bit more critical of certain points, but they're, like, it's so good. I'm so down with this show. And I was down before, but, like, even, like, watching a full episode knowingly, like, engorging myself.
On purpose.
I like it, dude. I'm so in. This is a good show.
All right, how are we going to – well, we should – what are we going to do? What is this segment going to be where we kind of summarize the show, what it meant to us, what it meant to us personally, and how good it was? Like, what's our rating system? Is it, like, 3 out of 5 cups of coffee, or is it –
we should do a new one every episode.
What? Oh,
yeah.
A new rating system.
Yes.
Ever.
Cups of coffee. Got to start it. Obviously.
Do you think you can come up? Do you think you can come up with 168?
Yes.
Okay. I'll try it. We'll try it. Or we could just say 4 out of 5 stars. ..
Hollow.
We should. There's so many hollow puns we can do. We can give hollow like shout outs, like hollow out. What would it be? What would it be called?
Oh, hollow. Hollow.
Stars holla.
Stars holla.
There it is. Stars holla.
Can an independent podcast get canceled?
We're gonna find out.
Stay tuned. Oh my god, I want to talk about some of my favorite lines of this episode because there are a few that I wrote down. One, there's one that's just sort of like the straightforward thesis where Lorelai is clearly joking, but she's like, she's going to go to Chilton, she's going to do all the things I could never do, and then I'm going to resent her. And it's like, that was a joke, but the whole, she's going to do all the things I never did, it's like, oh, that's a bit real when you find out that she got pregnant at 16.
There's a lot there, yeah.
And then my favorite line of the entire, it's not one line, it's like a series of lines, when she's when they're like, use this independent time to do whatever you want, and those girls around her are passing around nail polish and they look at Rory.
Oh,
and
yeah.
She's writing down and they start talking about what she's doing. One goes, maybe it's a love letter, maybe it's a diary, maybe it's a slam book, and the girl next to her leans over and sees her and she goes, oh, it's the assignment.
What a dumb bitch.
What an idiot. That's probably the most 2000. A slam book?
Yeah, I was
people
wondering. I rewound it to like a slam. I don't know what. What is a slam book?
I mean, from what Mean Girls has told me, it's like a book that people write mean shit about their classmates in. I don't know why that's a thing. I don't know why that. Who thought that would be fun?
We should bring them back.
Bring back the slam book.
Yeah. That's our next petition. Yeah. Okay, so overall, positive. What's our rating? What's your rating?
3 out of 5 cups of coffee.
Just 3?
Yep.
But it's still positive.
Oh, okay, here's the thing. If I can get 0.5s on you, I'm going to say, no, I'm going to raise it. 7 out of 10 cups of coffee. Wow. Definitely positive, okay. Let's see where it goes.
I'm going to give this 4 out of 5 cups of coffee.
All right.
I think...
You stole my rating system. That's cool.
Or did you steal mine?
That's true.
I brought it up first. I can do a different
don't
one.
Don't rewind this.
Four out of five patties. Four out of five Miss Patties. There's my rating.
We're just going to do characters. Yeah.
Four out of five Lukes. Well, okay. So that's our rating the episode. We're excited to see where it goes from here. Or yeah. You are. I'm excited to see where it goes from here. And for the next episode, we might be doing something a little bit different. We might be bringing in another guest to kind of spice things
Alexis
up.
Bledel.
Alexis Bledel might be on the show next week.
She's confirmed.
She just texted you?
She is doing it.
Okay, what emoji did she send?
The I'm coming emoji.
I know that emoji.
Yeah, the one that's the one that's the car.
Oh, okay.
The driving.
Yeah.
On the way.
Yeah.
She's confirmed.
Hey, it's like that. It's like that John Ralphio line, right? I got run over by Alexis.
Parks and Recreation Pals coming soon.
Ben, if you're listening, I'm sorry. I'll never ask you to do this podcast.
Please do the show. I'm asking you. Call us.
I can't. I want
to call us.
No, he doesn't have my number.
He does?
He does not.
Oh.
No. Okay, so that's our show. What would you rate this show on a totally different rating system?
Taking into account this episode and then all the other factors, no other factors, I'm going to say still 3 out of 5 so far. 3.7.
I'm going to give it...
7 out of 10, that's what
I'm going
to
give it 2 out of 5 Demis.
Really? Oh. Well, in the Demis, yeah.
Oh, 2.5. Am I being too harsh?
You're being a bit too harsh on the show.
I'm being too harsh. I'm spicy meatball. who are you texting right now?
I'm not texting anyone. I'm gonna play something. It's gonna be great.
Oh, are you doing our outro?
I am doing our outro.
Okay, I guess I won't do our outro.
Oh, what were you gonna do?
Well, I was just gonna do the la la la's again.
Oh, I was gonna play the theme song and have us sing it out.
Your thing's better.
Let's yeah. See that.
Okay, here we go.
Wait 1 second.
Thank you so much for listening to Gilmore Guys. I'm Kevin.
I'm Demi.
And we're going to be back next week with a lot more Gilmore Guys.
And Alexis Bledel.
She's going to be here live in the studio. Stay with us. I'm Ira Glass.
This is, what's his, what show
this is American Life. I'm Ira Glass. Act 1.
This is an ad. God damn it.
This is not
this
the
is the
song.
Worst.
This is not the... Oh, God. Demi!
I always do this.
Demi!
I always do this. This is going swimmingly, honestly.
Should we plug it in?
You might as well. Whatever. No, I'm playing it.
Okay.
Feeling lonely and so cold. Da-da-da-da-da. All you have to do is call my name and I'll be there on the next train. When you need, I will follow you anywhere that you tell me to. If you need me to be with you, I will follow. Oh, 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 where you lead. I will follow you anywhere that you tell me to. If you need me to be with you, I will follow you where you lead.
Thanks, guys.
No, don't start again. Okay. We're done!